Hello and welcome back to Down the Slope. Just a few weeks ago, we thought we were going to have a nice wee mosey down in the bottom six, beat everybody, have a great time going to summer, good vibes. Has not turned out that way. I'm joined by the wonderful Ewan and Liam. Ewan, how are we getting on?
Good, buddy. Really nice weekend, obviously out with Hibs, but why did we think anything would go the way that we thought it would? Just because it's Hibs in the bottom six doesn't mean we're going to win every game. More fool us.
Yeah, and Liam, kind of following off that, like I think we, in the back of our minds, we thought it might have went not as rosy as we'd hoped for, but I don't think anybody expected that bad.
Nah, I mean, I think the bottom six rarely goes like how you think it's going to be. It's only a couple of years since we were last in it, and did we not turn out some pretty stinking performances in
I
that
was
spell?
thinking
Remember,
about
we got beat by Dundee, I think, or drew 0-0 away at Dundee, got
never
beat
got
by
beat.
Livingston at Almondvale. We lost another game. I mean, the bottom six, we lost away at Aberdeen as well, didn't we? So, bottom
Yes.
six, I think everyone thinks because the opposition is quote unquote inferior, it's going to be easy. But to be honest, I think sometimes when you're the bigger club in that situation, players don't think they should be there, and I think minds are elsewhere. To be honest, folk are thinking about their summer holidays, which it's not a great mentality to have, shall we say.
You enjoy follow up on that?
No, Liam is right. Like when ultimately Hibs, Motherwell, and Aberdeen after the first game had absolutely nothing to play for in these games, and like, and when it's like that, if Aberdeen just fancy it a little bit more than Hibs do, then you know that it can very much go that way. Had Hibs scored earlier on in the game and went ahead, we probably quite conceivably could have done the same thing to them. You know what I mean? Like that sort of desire to really get back into a game, whether rightly or wrongly, is not going to be there when honestly it makes fucking no difference.
Aye, and but I know we've said on a couple of pods that like we kind of want to hold off on speaking about Montgomery's future until the end of the season. But yesterday, I believe, was our heaviest defeat at home to Aberdeen since 1985, and it was just absurdly bad. Liam, kind of talk to me about your feelings overall. We'll get into listener questions and we'll kind of break down the main topics that came through. But where do you stand on Montgomery and kind of the club at a general for a, like overview?
Just to add to your 1985 stat I heard yesterday, and I've not fact checked it, apparently that's our worst home defeat since 1997 to any club as well. So, I mean,
I
I
don't
think
think
that.
that's right. I can remember getting beat 5-0 Celtic on my birthday.
Not fact checked, like I say. So,
Ah, yeah. Probably off. Probably it probably says I'm like not off Celtic or Rangers or
yeah,
something. Yeah.
possibly. Or off Celtic at least, because Rangers didn't really give us too many problems for a good few years until recently.
A 4-0 equals a 6-2, didn't it? Because they beat us in the Petrofac Trading Cup.
All right, guys, we're at the bottom. Let's not go lower, Liam. Anyway.
I mean, listen, we've I think we've been burnt by maybe advocating in the past for managers to go quite early. I know, and whilst I think ultimately those calls were in some cases right, I think this one we wanted to be patient. We were very mindful of the need for time, the need to build, the need for transfer windows. But I think ultimately where I sort of landed is some results are just too seismic to not start to think and have real severe doubts. And ultimately, I think where my head is at the moment is I think the two games now, rain the rest of the season, if he stays in charge, are very much relevant. So, because actually they will have relevance on how people feel going into next season. I think, to be honest, I think even if we won the two, I don't think people would be happy, but they'd be less unhappy than if we were to lose the two. But I found myself yesterday, and sorry, this is a bit of a long ramble, I found myself yesterday casting my head to July and thinking about the League Cup group stages and thinking about playing Stenhouse Muir away on a sunny day in July, a team that's playing in League One who've just been promoted, and what the atmosphere would be like if we didn't get a result in that game and Montgomery was still manager and how that would feel. I just don't think there's the patience there for him. I think when the fan base turns, irrespective of what you think is the right thing for the club to do, it gets to a point where it's just no longer tenable for him to be there. And I think that's kind of where my head's at, to be honest.
Astutely put. Ewan, floor is yours.
Firstly, I think what Liam said there, a lot of it is absolutely correct. Like, I felt the fan base turned massively on the back of the St Johnstone game of it, the sort of reaction at full time at Easter Road. Now, there was obviously still the opportunity at Motherwell to get over the line potentially, before we'd known Dundee were obviously playing Rangers on the Wednesday night, and we got quite close, obviously, in that scenario to doing so. But I think I said after that Motherwell game that I wanted them to go, and ultimately that is where my head is at. But I don't, what's the point? Like, I know that, but then also, what's the point in keeping them? Like, I'm so, like, people say disengaged and all that, Harry, and I never really want to think of myself with that with Hibs, but like, because I think it's such a valid thing to say that a manager needs time, but there's, I said it 6 months ago about we need a performance to hang our hat on. Well, we've had, a large chunk of a season that he's been in charge now, and I can't even really say clearly this is a reason for keeping him. Like, that's the thing for me. Like, he talks about being on the right trajectory. He took more points in his first 16 games before the January break than he has in the 16 games since then, and three of them have been in the bottom six. Like, three of the points were in the bottom six as well. Like, it's just there's nothing to me that jumps. You try and find a stat or you try and find a performance or anything that makes you go, no, that's why we've got to keep him, and I can't find it. He loses against 10 men in the League Cup semi-final. You go out to Rangers in the quarter-final of the Scottish Cup, that can happen. You lose a last-minute derby against Hearts, like at Easter Road. Like, you don't get over the line in any way at all in terms of getting in the top six. The terminology he then uses around how we would have reacted had we got top six, it's just, it's all, none of it's positive. And his interview after the game yesterday is just, the one on Sky especially, just honestly so shite. Like, just so full of nonsense and waffle and the same stuff that we've heard now for quite a long time, unfortunately. And because the games, there's been a trend in the games, Harry, as well. Like, I don't think he's wrong to say we create chances, we don't take them, we concede the first goal, but you're the manager, do something about it. Change something. Do you know what I mean?
We genuinely looked good for 25 minutes again yesterday, like 25 minutes, half an hour, and people probably call me a happy clapper for that because we didn't score a goal. But like we genuinely looked good for half an hour. But then it's the same format like every single week. You kind of know what's going to happen. We get ourselves into good positions, lots of touches in the final third. Don't create massive amounts of clear openings, but there were chances. And then Aberdeen score and Nash falls at us.
I'd love to know what Harry, like, and let's get your take on all things as well. But he talks about hard times. This club's been through some hard times. Okay, so he came in and we'd had a poor start to the season. We had 3 points from four games, but it's 4 games into the season. What are the hard times that he is actually referring to? Is he talking about hard times in his tenure? Because I look at it and I go, yeah, do you know what? The club had an extremely hard time 14 months ago when the owner of the club passed away. But even then, Lee Johnson, who for all his flaws, none of us would have, we all would have, this time a year ago, would have said move on. He still managed to get into the top six. He actually managed to garner some positivity in the split. The only disappointing game in the split last year was the Rangers game. I think we maybe won our first game or two games, went up to Aberdeen, battered them, just didn't get the result. Beat Hearts in the split, I think, as well. Like, we went into the summer feeling good. Whereas 12 months later, we're going into the summer like, fucking yes, it's the summer. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just for some balance, so when he did come in, you were on this podcast and quoted as saying, like, we could be relegated. Like that was something that you did deem as a possibility. I'm not saying
I
he's done
actually
anything.
think I said we could be relegated when he was in charge. I don't know. I can't
Yeah.
remember
I know.
later.
I think at one point we looked over the shoulder a bit, and then Liam kind of gave us a cuff around the ear and said, let's grow up here, which was fair enough. But yeah, I think the main thing for me, I think previous managers, maybe we were a bit much in terms of jumping the gun, but there's no credit in the bank. Like, with Jack Ross, he had the third place finish, he had the cup runs, that bought him extra time. Lee Johnson, for all his flaws, even though we went through some really terrible patches, he would win five or six games on the trot. Montgomery, the only thing
Careful.
that
He didn't win five or six games at the
Okay,
trot at
okay.
any point.
Did he not in the January after we got absolutely papped? I thought he won
No,
five in a row,
maybe
no?
five or six
maybe.
unbeaten, but I don't know about,
Okay,
you know,
okay.
like.
Anyway, the only thing that Montgomery done was he went on, I think it was like a 8-game unbeaten run or something, but then we ended up drawing six of those games and three of them were
Aye.
from winning positions. It's like everything in the same theme as well as Liam touched on perfectly there. I don't think there's many good games we've played under Montgomery in which there isn't a phase of the game which we look good. I think almost every week there is phases of games that we look good and we'll typically create at least one really good chance. But it becomes a pattern, and every single time we concede, the arse falls out. Unless we're 3 goals ahead, which I don't think we've been apart from Livingston at home. I'm not going to feel safe whilst we've got a lead under Montgomery. He doesn't know how to manage games after the game started, and that's a real issue. And that's been his real issue since he got here.
Yeah.
It is stupid. Like, we've taken more points post sort of January break. It's less points, but we have probably played better football, you know, like for a period anyway. But like, I think we put three wins together on the spin November, December time, Harry, and one, and but two of them we were bad, Livingston and Aberdeen. Like, but you won the games, and like, that's just, had you just, but then, so it's like, what do you actually prefer? Because obviously, it's been a lot of shit, really, and you know, it's been a very middling season that's going to end up probably sitting in what, to ninth place in the league, likely, if we're being honest. I don't hold out too much hope for these last two games. Like, it's just like there's been no consistency, but then to the same point, there has been, you know, there's no consistency in results, but I think we've had quite a consistent 11, quite a consistent style of game. You know what I mean? Like we're saying, like, you could almost, if you've watched one Hibs game in the last 6 months, you've seen them all, sort of thing. I don't know how you guys feel.
I mean, I'm not really too worried about consistency, to be honest. I mean, I think the two big black marks that are on his copybook for me are the thing that you just alluded to there, Harry, is in-game management for me, his substitutions and how he manages the games. I don't have any issues with starting 11 he picks most weeks. I'm fine with it, to be honest. But the substitutions he makes after the game's already started, they're woeful. I can't think of him making, other than maybe the Yuan. Did Yuan come off the bench at Tynecastle, or was he already? No, he was already on the pitch now. I can't
Yeah,
really think of making a substitution that's changed the game or even impacted the game positively, to be frank.
when he first started the St Mirren game, he brought two players on. We conceded, but then we ended up bouncing back and having a
No,
good
Harry,
performance afterwards.
they two
Those
subs were
nearly
what,
cost us. Yeah, the
yeah.
Whittaker one nearly cost us. It's in-game management, and let's cast aside the stuff that doesn't really matter, because interviews and that don't matter. Like, people want to make a big thing about how he speaks in interviews. It doesn't really matter. It's about how he communicates to the players. That's the important thing from my perspective. The in-game management's a worry, but the biggest worry for me is Lee Johnson was awful. Like, let's not rewrite history, because I've seen a lot of people say this is making Johnson look competent, this makes him look good. It doesn't. He was still hopeless, right? But with Johnson, there was maybe one or two players that you could point to that he's improved. Nick Montgomery has not improved
Yeah.
any individual in that squad. Even Tavares has regressed to the mean.
Which is a
So,
conversation we had in, I think, January time, Liam, and you were sort of, whilst you were still very optimistic about the manager, you weren't as glowing probably about the especially on Tavares, where some of, you know, we're talking about the improvement and stuff, but as you've seen, like a Christian Deutsch at the start of the season was competent, if you like, and then he got shot, ultimately didn't hardly kick the ball and out the window. Like, Paul Hanlon's hardly kicked a ball under him. It's there's there like it's this whole thing, Harry, backs up what I feel like I said 10 minutes ago. What is the thing? What is the Where is this thing that you can say that's why we should keep him? Like, what is it? Like, is it just
the
we
only man
cannot
that
sack another manager?
that's I think that's the only man I think that's the only argument that exists at this stage, to be honest, is you can't sack another manager. Or the other argument, I guess, that exists is you can't get rid of the manager in isolation, which I'm sure we'll come on to talk about. But I just don't, like, I don't see any other feasible argument other than that we're being the cycle of management. There's nothing really discernible in his record that you can say that's given me faith.
Yeah.
I just can't see how anyone would have faith at this stage.
And the thing is as well, like obviously what he done with team in Australia, I always mispronounce their
Central
names. I'm not even
Coast,
going to
yeah.
attempt it. Like that is impressive. So, but that's nothing to do with Hibs. And then for the most part now, people are being like, "Well, the A-League's pish. Let's never go near that again." So it's like you can't even use that now as like a tangible thing. The only thing I'll say, and it's technically the same as Lee Johnson as well, is he didn't have a defence. Like realistically, I don't. I hate to overly criticize players on the pod, but for my money, I don't think that Rocky Bushiri or Will Fish are of good enough caliber to be starting for Hibs this season. I don't. I think they're young players that have got potential, and they could be one day. But I think at the moment, I think they're backup players. But they were his from his own choice, I suppose. But they were number one and number two for him. Paul Hanlon should have been starting the whole season, to be honest. But that's another story. And then they brought in a centre back who's better as a defensive midfielder. Like he didn't have a defence. And again, in my opinion, I don't think Marshall at the stage of his career should have been number one for Hibs this season. So that's literally I'm making excuses because I don't want it to just be a get Montgomery out, he's crap. But that's the only excuses I can think of.
I suppose the other bit of mitigation that you would have is we signed Owen Bevan and he didn't get to play him. Now Owen Bevan would have to be an absolute fucking world beater to come in and really take us on from, given how poor the defence has been this season. Owen Bevan would have to have been like fucking the Welsh Maldini for us to have any chance of him lifting us from where we are. But again, it was a he's a 20, 21-year-old centre half that we signed. Address the defensive issues. I mean, that to me points at a wider issue than Montgomery. That points to me at a club that want to spend all their money on players in the final third, but don't want to address the gaping holes they've had defensively for go on, Harry, tell us how many years.
Oh God, how many days was it? Liam Fontaine was our last mental. But anyway, you've heard our thoughts. Get your seatbelt strapped on, boys, and let's get some of the listener opinions. So, Incarnatum
Can
said,
I just say
get.
you need to stick with a title for this segment and run with a list of opinions? That's another new one.
Well, shut your mouth anyway. He said, get him out. 4-0 is unacceptable from Aberdeen. I honestly back this man, but let the door hit you on the way out. He's out of his depth. I don't actually know if I've ever heard that before. Let the door hit you on the way out. I like that. I aggressive slamming. Good stuff. Interesting question from Hibernia. Where do we go from here? Like, in
Aye.
your guys' opinion, like, if someone said to you're in charge now. You get to make the choice. Is it sack the manager and then kind of reset at the end of the season? Or do you think let them do the next two games, see what happens, and then assess from there? If it was up to you and you go first, would you actually let them have the next couple of games, or would you just get rid now and try and kind of kill the negative vibe that's around the club?
What is my role? Am I CEO? Is
You're a
that or like
hypothetical situation that's making a
I'd
decision.
get rid of the manager.
You're Phil Bowley.
I'd be getting rid of the manager, and I would be looking to hire someone fairly quickly that has a track record in a sporting capacity, maybe of some good where he's been in charge of good performance to then hire a manager. I don't, and Brian McDermott, I don't think it's that person either. He was a football manager himself. I think we need someone in who has been involved in a recruiting process of a manager and has a decent, success record of it. That would be a good start. Because I know for all her flaws, Leanne Dempster was a CEO, but she'd obviously made some good appointments, I think, at Motherwell before, or at least she had experience of it. We're sort of running with rookies in that area, or at least maybe not rookies now, but they were rookies when they came to Hibs.
And Liam, same question to yourself.
In terms of the where do we go from here, I mean, ultimately there's a review that's taking place, right? So that will inform what we do, and I think to a large extent, there does need to be an overhaul of probably staffing in the football department of some kind, and I think that was kind of on the cards anyway with BKFC. I mean, the rumours are that Brian McDermott's not been seen at HTC for months. Whether those are true or not, I don't know. Can't substantiate them. But it feels like something's already changed or is changing, and therefore, what I would probably take from that is we'll see this new technical director appointed potentially later on this week, and a new manager coming very shortly after it. And I think that's probably right, but I think there's probably a broader clear out, broader turnover that needs to happen because we're not talking about one bad season. We're talking about three chronically underachieving seasons for the last three seasons. and that's more than one individual that's accountable for that. So I think a major overhaul is how I would summarize it.
Yeah, I think it's like you can get away with last season, you know, if it's not coupled in between two bottom six finishes. You know what I mean? Like if you know you can get away with a fifth place finish in a season where you sort of just you
But even then, a cup
underperform doing
performance
it.
last season,
Totally, exactly. That's what I mean.
just
But
like
I mean, you can,
lowest of the low.
as a club, you can get away with 1 year, but when you're putting out 3 seasons in a row, or even fucking, if you want to be so precise, fucking 2.5 years or whatever, if you want to take it back to when Jack Ross left, but things weren't exactly rosy at that point. And like there was a reason he got sacked, but it just, I know you're asking probably more about the manager, Harry, and I don't know if you want names or not, but I don't know. I was just trying to think today, like Derek McInnes was a name that was obviously bandied out in September time, like, but why would an experienced manager want to come here now to work under rookies, to give up fourth, the team that are fourth placed in European football, to come into what I'm assuming will be described as a project? You know, I don't think we're going to get told in the summer, you know, we're going to finish third next season and that's the ambition. I think we're going to get told to have patience and see where we're at in a couple of years. So you're being told that's what I think we're going to see. So I think you're going to see a manager come in that mold as well again, truthfully, which I
What do you
don't
think?
think
What
is
do you
right.
think, Harry? Do you think McInnes would take it?
The main reason I think McInnes would take it is if he was kind of sold the kind of Martindale idea of if you come in, you'll have like a lot of say of what goes on, and it's technically full rebuild time. Like if you look at the squad we've got now, I would say you've got maybe five players, and I know we covered it and we ended up having seven, and but you've got five players realistically that are contracted to the club that you would be happy with in the first team considering the like money that we've got. So from McInnes, if he kind of see, but the thing is, if no matter who it is next, we do need to have the patience. Like I know we said that this year with Montgomery, but the thing is, we need a win now manager because Hibs fans are just kind of at the point where we're just not accepting. Like, if you look historically over the last like 15 years, this isn't anywhere near the worst season that we've had as Hibs fans. But because
No.
of the fact that we won the Scottish Cup and when we got promoted, we've done well for a few seasons. Like, we do have the expectations now, which I think is a good thing. I think Hibs should always have the expectations. But like, if I was McInnes, Hibs are a bigger club, so I'd probably do it. If I'm managing in Scotland, I want to manage for either Celtic or Rangers as a manager, or you want to manage for Aberdeen, Hibs, or Hearts. That's, in my opinion, the two categories of clubs you want. So, in my opinion, I think he would take it if we put the right offer in front of him. But how long is he contracted to Kilmarnock for? Because surely it wouldn't
He
be
signed a
cheap.
new deal this year, I think.
Aye, and the amount we're paying, Matt, are we not still? Well, we didn't have to pay Luke Johnson because of Gardner and Levy, or because he got a new club.
I don't
But
think we'll be paying anyone now because they've all got into new jobs.
I wouldn't have thought so. I think they're all contracted, and severance doesn't generally run for that long with football clubs now. It doesn't, the severance doesn't generally match the length of the contract, I don't think, anymore. I think it's interesting. You made that interesting point there, Harry, just about the sort of the process and giving it time and letting it run. I think that's fine to make that argument, but I think for people who are still backing them, I think what I would say is, if you're hitting out with this sort of trust the process patter, there needs to be progress within the process. So it can't just be we just wait until this 2 year cycle and all of a sudden everything's going to be magical and rosy. There has to be signs for people, and there's no signs for people. And I think that's when you get a win now manager in, and I don't even really know who's a classic example of a new manager.
I was
Sam Allardyce, like, I'm not saying him for us, but like Sam Allardyce,
yeah.
like typical, like you get him in, man manager, G's people up. I listened to the Stephen Warnock Under the Cosh podcast, and actually he was painting a really good picture of Big Sam as a manager. But then there's that sort of short-termism thing, and people are like, oh, it's fine because he's a win now guy, so he's only here for 1 or 2 years. Actually, that's not now what we need. And I don't know if that manager exists. It's a hybrid between win now, but is also going to give you the longevity of being here in 4 or 5 years' time. I mean, Neil Lennon's probably a win now manager, to be honest.
Yeah,
Neil Lennon generally goes and shakes things up and gets results.
I was about to say the exact same thing, but like the thing is for me when it comes to the next manager, just say the last couple of questions that were sent in were roughly on the same lines of don't necessarily want him sacked, but I'd be surprised to see. It's like, you know, when we were discussing the manager episode, and I said with Heke, there was the moment at Ibrox where he lost, and it just felt like that was it done.
Then a
And I,
deal.
for me, that result felt like boom, done. Sorry,
Can I just
you.
say I'm just sorry to sort of come because I want you to say what you were going to say, Harry, but just feel I'm the opposite, by the way. I want him to go, but I don't think he is. I don't think he's still there now, if he's going anywhere. I really don't think he's going anywhere. Otherwise, why would they not just got rid of him when you finish bottom six?
I think because of the review that was already ongoing and the appointment of an impending technical director who's presumably going to be given the remit to make decisions about the manager, because there's no one currently fulfilling that role from what we understand.
Yeah,
So
so
the
maybe a
guy
bit
that's
similar
appointed
to them
needs to
still
ultimately
coming
make the call. And he can do
in.
that, but I suppose he could do that before he actually starts officially in role. He could say, look, I've had enough time to assess it and it's not for me. But I mean, the statistics bear out. I mean, I saw a tweet today, he's fifth. Is it the fifth or the sixth worst win percentage in Hibs manager history?
Six, I think, yeah.
With that available, with the players that he's available, it's not a great squad, as we've touched on. It's not an awful squad either. It's been balanced.
I would just dumb it down and just say the squad is, in my opinion, was better after January and he took less points. You know, like I know that sound, I don't know if that's being too like on the nose with it, but I think we had a decent January transfer window on the face of it, out with a couple of holes, Harry, obviously, but and he managed to take less points, which that tells me everything. But I totally came in and we've went on a tangent. What were you going to say, my man?
So my main thing that my main problem with Montgomery is I want a manager that, so Jack Ross, the football wasn't always entertaining, but we had a structured back four, and in front of them was a structured midfield, and then you had a very good attacker that could create goals. Being honest, the most similar team to that at the moment in this Premier League is Hearts. They've got,
Probably.
as much as we hate to admit it, they've got a pretty good defence. The midfielders, I don't think individually are brilliant, but they do their job and they've got a prolific goal scorer. For me, from whatever we've seen of Nick Montgomery, but like be it at Hibs or previously, he's not the type of man that's going to actually set up teams to, you know, it's supposed to be this expansive football. And I know everybody kind of knocks on about this Hybe's way and stuff. It doesn't need to exist. Like, I'd much rather get points and I'd like see with Jack Ross, it was winning games when we were shit. That's what we've done. We just don't do that anymore. And even under Lee Johnson, we would, when we won games, we would play like attack and football and we'd win them. But we never won them, like those gritty performances getting it away. And I just think we need a manager that does that. It was a Jambo quote tweeted me yesterday, and he was like, Hibs need a manager like Robbie Nielsen, who's just going to come and kind of reset and actually just make sure they're not shit. Because that's the thing, Robbie Nielsen never made Hearts amazing. They were just not shit, but they were not shit at a time that everybody else was shit. So it worked. Like, and that's what for me Derek McInnes would do. He would come in, and I don't think we'd enjoy the football, but I think we'd get a hell of a lot more points than we're currently getting.
See, I think it's quite interesting, like, and I do think you raise a good point about the Hibs way in that I think Hibs fans would enjoy Derek McInnes's football. We enjoyed Neil Lennon's. Like, I think Derek McInnes's teams play with pace and with wingers and with strikers, and it's direct, but I don't know. I don't think it's as I don't think it's as like this sitting in as a low block as everyone thinks. Like, you look at the teams that he had at Aberdeen in their pomp, you know, like we waxed lyrical about like the midfield that we had in the football we played, but they had Kenny McLean, Graham Shinney, and Ryan Jack, who on countless occasions got the better of John McGinn, Dylan McGeoch, and whoever else was in there. Like, I think he's adaptable, you know, like I do. I think that that's fair to say, and I think he's Kelly team at times, you know. I've been at rugby park this season and watched them. You really pen us in with the wingers being high, wide, and you know, like strikers in the box. And you talk about how do you get a goal scorer, Harry, to 20 goals? I think you get a goal scorer at that margin by being quite direct. I don't think you get a goal scorer at 20 goals with, you know, having 60-70% of the possession. It's being direct in your attacking play. I don't mean long ball, but you know, quick, decisive, and that's what Hibs were under Jack Ross. I don't think we kept the ball for, you know, for possession's sake, and I don't think anyone does that really. But we, Jack Ross, I don't think played long ball, but we certainly didn't necessarily feel a possession-based team either. But we got the ball into areas to hurt teams.
Can I just break up this Derek McInnes loving
I
and just be really clear that I do not
don't
want
want
Derek
him.
McInnes to get the job? Like, and I think There is, you're right, Ewan, there's a certain amount of, there's a myth created that his teams play worse football than they actually do. But the whole style of play thing is a bit of a redundant argument because no one talks about style of play when you're winning games of football. As
No.
simple as that. You lose a couple of games and then style of play, and that's what happened at Aberdeen. And I think because Derek McInnes comes with a stereotype that his teams play bad football, irrespective of what people see in front of them, they'll say, you lose a couple of games, it'll be the style of football shite. It'll be the fact that occasionally he plays four centre backs in a back four, because he does do that from time to
Yeah,
time still. He did it at Aberdeen all the time. And how many Hibs managers have you seen
yeah.
line up four centre backs across the back four in the time you've been watching them?
Hibs haven't even got four centre backs fucking contracted.
Well, we'd be fucked because we wouldn't have a left footed one to play left back, would we?
Yeah.
So we'd have to play a right footed left back. Riley Harbottle, come on down.
Neil Lennon didn't even line up with four centre backs across the back at Killie away, even though he
Oh
had about
my
eight
God
defenders
Almighty.
in the team. So no, you are right, Liam. And but I don't think it's like I said earlier, I think don't think he'd be interested, and I don't necessarily think Hibs would be interested in him. I just think it's you're right, style of play. Because, like, see, when you have this style of play that Nick Montgomery tries to enter, and Maloney was the same, if you ultimately don't get the goals to back it up and the results, is pretty boring. You know, like, it is because you can pass a team to death as well, but it does get a bit like, right, okay, like, can we get this going a little bit? Can we fucking smash someone, or can we just get the defence turned or something? You know what I mean? Like, there is that element to it. Like, we're all Scotland fans. Scotland don't play fucking fantastic football, but what we're in people's faces. We create quite a lot of chances. Like, it's aggressive. It's front foot, and it's just that's what the game is up here. And as far as I'm concerned, it's fast paced. It's aggressive, and Hibs are there. Hibs should be able to perform better than what we do.
So long story short, it's that bald fraud Pep Guardiola's fault that Hibs are shite because everybody's just copying him since he took over European football. Bastard. Anyway, when
Nobody
it comes
scores
to
baggers anywhere.
exactly, man, disgusting. But when it comes to Hibs, obviously, as we touched on, if Montgomery was to go, that would be the fourth manager to face the sack in 2.5 years. I think I put in the group chat today, it's 245 days Montgomery's been at the club. And I think 245 days ago, we wouldn't even dreamed to have had to have this conversation again. But the question is, who needs to go with him? Whose question can I draw out? So Mark Skinner said, do you see the current regime making the correct choices for the massive changes ahead at the club, or is the trust gone? Leon, I'll come to you first on this one. In terms of the hierarchy at the club as such, can we trust them anymore?
I think you can still trust them, but I think you can still have trust with a lack of faith. And I don't have a huge amount of faith about their decision making because I think the three managerial appointments have been miles off it, to be honest. And the sacking that came before that was still, they admit, well, our previous owner, who's obviously now sadly passed away, even admitted himself that it was a mistake. So, lack of faith is the thing for me.
And then Ewan, Mike Smart said, only shite club in the world with two billionaire owners. Quite clearly, overall wage budget is pish. We need quality. We're halfway there. Then we get a clown in charge. Same question to you. I just wanted to throw that out there because I thought it was a funny comment. But yeah, where do you stand in terms of Ben Kensel's a name that's been branded about a lot, if you want to speak a bit to Ben Kensel.
Look, at Ben, we get accused of a lot of things. I think I've said it on here before, but I think Ben's been pretty decent with us, and like he's given up some time and stuff to chat with us and allowed us to sort of put things out there to those stupid folk that want to listen to us. But and I think spreadsheet, balance sheet wise, and all that, he's probably performed pretty well as a CEO. But I don't think you can look past, obviously, the on-field performance. And I don't know, you don't know what was pitched to him when he came in. What, like, when he took the role, 3 years ago or something now, like, was he supposed to be running the entire football department? Is he running the entire football department? We've not had any of these real updates for a long time, actually. The last time we probably got a clear breakdown of stuff was when Brian McDermott was announced, maybe Was that about this time last year? Was that, I think, was it before the season was out? Like, I think it's probably right for him and for the club that he does move on and that someone else comes in that will probably titled something different, like Liam says, technical director, sporting director, something like that. But if he does stay in line with someone else like that coming in, then I'm comfortable with that because I think the other sides of the club are performing well. So if you take the sort of football operations off his plate and give it to someone, like I say, that's not a rookie, that's got some experience and a track record of appointing managers or, you know, whatever it is a club we're looking for. Is it that he's ran a club that constantly turns a profit that in terms of player trading or that they get their managerial appointments right or they punch above their weight or whatever it is, then that's fine. But if Ben Kensel is supposed to be in charge of hiring your managers and, you know, all that stuff, then I think he needs to go. If you're going to run with two, a sort of CEO and a director, then he can stay. But if it's got to be one all-encompassing guy, then I think he's got to move on.
I mean, I have a very different view from that, I guess. I think the balance sheet isn't positive because the whilst income is up, expenditure is also up considerably, and we posted a record loss in our last accounts. So from a balance sheet perspective, I know they're saying that it's going to look better this year. I don't really have confidence that that's necessarily going to be the case given the on-field performances. I don't really want to get into talking about someone's salary because I'm not sure really that's hugely fair to comment on. I think all I would say is, compared to other salaries of CEOs in the SPFL, it's high, and therefore, if you've got a higher salary, expectations of you should be higher. And I don't think the on-field performance reflects the salary. To be honest, would be my take on it when you compare it versus turnover. I think we're in a place now where ultimately the next CEO of the football club, I think the transition plan will be that next CEO will be Ian Gordon, and people will have a very fixed view on that based on, I suppose, Ian's previous work in recruitment. All I can say is I think I really hope that the Black Knight investment can help keep us on or get us back onto the right track, because I really worry about us going through a transitional phase, moving a CEO on, moving someone else new in, when there is so much at the moment which is just not quite working off field and on field. You know, the rumored lack of sales around the new hospitality in the Famous Five, apparently that's bombed completely. There's obviously some other changes going on around kind of the club shop and merchandise. There's rumored a lot of stuff going to happen at HTC in terms of upgrades and improvements. There's quite a big portfolio for a new CEO to come in and manage. It's not like everything's just tickety-boo and you're taking over a team that's winning on the pitch and doing great off the field. I think there's a few irons that are or a few fires that are maybe needing put out potentially.
Yeah, I think it would be best served that there is two roles there. You know, ultimately where there is someone that looks after everything else and there's someone that's sole day-to-day job is exclusively looking after football operations, if you like. And I think that's what we all thought Brian McDermott was coming in to do last year. I think we felt a director of football was going to come in, rip up the football structure, oversee everything. You know what I mean? And frankly, it doesn't seem like that's what's happened. And
Nah.
we've not had any communication to suggest it has otherwise. And, you know, perhaps were we not, from you know, almost from the very first interview when he's talking about Lee Johnson being the boss, my understanding is the manager reports to the director of football, not the other way
Yeah.
about.
Yeah.
And whatever we've done in that recruitment process hasn't been correct. The current CEO said, was I can't even remember if he said it to us or if it was on another podcast, that he never felt we would ever have a director of football anyway. So,
Didn't need it,
yeah,
cuz
was it, yeah,
said we didn't need it.
was it just tokenism that we went, you know, we went and hired Brian McDermott, gave him a title to get people off their back, try and buy Lee Johnson a little bit of time. That's backfired. And now, literally, we're just going to look to try and put someone in a similar position again this time with a different title, but obviously, hopefully, to more effect. It is a little bit like Groundhog Day. Like, you know, like I feel like we've been talking about off-field stuff at this club for quite a number of years now, as much as we've been talking about new managers.
Tony Swanson said, "We are being taken for a ride by the board slash owners. Fancy hospitality adds more income to them, not a benefit for the club. This team has been second priority to fleecing the fans. We're paying through the nose, and they're thumbing theirs at us." I think it's a bit unfair, to be honest. Like, for me, I fully get where he's coming from. Like, comparatively to like 5 years ago, the price for hospitality is exorbitant, and stuff like mascot packages and stuff. But the hospitality suites look really good. Like, the screens in the stadium look good, and it's like, if we were playing well on the field, would we care that we're adding that stuff? In my opinion, no. I think if like I think the stuff that we're doing off the field would be massively applauded if we were doing well on it. And I don't think that the two are linked. Like, I don't think because we're building like good infrastructure around the club, I don't think that necessarily directly correlates to why we're underperforming on the field. So I don't mean to completely shit on what you said, Tony, and I don't think that you're saying it from like a conspiracy way. I see what you're saying, but in my opinion, I think it's a bit unfair to be like they're just trying to flog us for money. From what I've seen of the Gordons, that's not the impression I get. But I just wanted to put Tony, have you guys got any thoughts on that? Do you think that's a bit of a stretch, or do you think there's some validity in what Tony's saying there?
There's validity in what he's saying in terms of the increased cost to the fan, because I think there's been quite a lot of cost increases that have been passed on to supporters. But if you want new things like new hospitality suites and new screens and all of that stuff and new players potentially as well, then the money has to come from somewhere. And the model for most football clubs around the world is that fans pay for it.
And then one other one on this area, and this was a sole question from Gary Williamson, but wanted to get your guys' thoughts. David Gray has been the defensive coach for all these managers. Our defence is the biggest problem. I don't
I don't
think
even
the
know if that's
defence.
true.
Yeah,
No, I don't know.
yeah.
Like, I
That
mean, you
was.
know, I don't want like. And
I thought
by the
that.
way,
Was.
if it is true, then aye, come on, like move on. But I can't imagine that three different managers have just came in and went, right, Dave, you played right back, so you're taking my defence, and I'm never speaking to them, or my assistant manager that I'm bringing in, or I just, again, like, if there is validity to it, then fuck me, I get to fuck. But like, I surely no, like surely no.
I mean, even if he was, though, right? I mean, conceding goals is more than just about what your back four and your goalkeeper does, right? So, how many goals have we conceded this season because of our style of play and our want to pass out from the back? I mean, we've conceded two or three in
Especially
very recent
about
weeks.
eight
So,
at Ibrox into across two
defend
games.
defending's a, I know we've really castigated the back four, back five, including the goalkeeper, but it's a fucking team game at the end of the day as well. So, even if it's the defensive coach. I heard someone say that he was set piece
Set
coach, and
pieces,
that was
that's
like a
what I.
fact a wee while ago. So he just—I don't know who to believe, to be honest, with this stuff. And you'd have to ask, I suppose you'd have to ask the players. And maybe it's not even as binary as fans think. Maybe it's not. You've got a defense coach and an attack coach. Maybe they just fucking—it's just—it's—it's—it's—it's
Yeah,
it, there's variety in who takes what.
I just assumed that they'd be doing a lot of, well, obviously there is positional specific stuff, but I don't feel like we're doing much, like, right, we're just working with defenders here. It's all shape and where you want it. Because if you want to, it's like everyone they say, like, you know, you want to take it to the top. Harry mentioned his name earlier, Pep Guardiola. You watch stuff like Monday Night Football and stuff, and they get ex-players on it. Half the time when they're building up to attack, it's they play it in a way so they can win the ball back, and so they're set for defense. So I don't think you're going to just take, right, where's my back four? Right, who's on the bench? Right, you're coming with me, and we're going to do that. But sorry, but David Gray is an interesting one as well, because he obviously holds a huge, huge special place in everyone associated with this football club. And right, any has ever want to see him anywhere but Hibs. However, that is now four managers since he retired, where he's been part of the coaching staff, and like, I just wonder what is next. What are David Gray's ambitions
One
like?
thing for me that people have said, I've seen a couple of people be like, is it time to give David Gray a shot? David Gray's like worked under some of the worst managers we've had. Like, no, that this is not the like for me. If you want David Gray to be manager, you like ideally he goes to a lower league club. He gets matches under his belt. He runs a football team,
What if
and
he
then he comes
loses
to
games there,
Hibs.
Harry? What if
Then he keeps on getting experience elsewhere, and or he finds out that managing football clubs isn't for him. I'd much rather him lose games at Alloa than come to Hibs and
Tell you
lose
what,
games.
I'm Gusky David Gray the job. It'll make me feel better.
I think it is an interesting one about going to other clubs. I mean, I still think you can be the manager having worked under poor managers, because there'll be bits. Just because someone's been a poor manager doesn't mean there's not good bits that you would take from what they've done. So I've had a career, I've worked for an organisation for 16 years. I've had some good line managers, I've had some mediocre ones, and I've had some awful ones. But I'd like to think what I do is take the good bits from the good ones. I try to anyway, from maybe I don't, but like try to take the good bits from the good ones and ignore the bad stuff from the bad ones, take the good bits from all the other ones, and it informs who you become. So I don't think it's necessarily as binary as the managers you worked under, but I do think asking him to lead a complete rebuild is probably not the right thing at this stage of his career. But then the flip of that is he goes to a lower league club and he has like Ian Murray. Ian Murray's done a good job at every football club he's been at, apart from St Mirren. Would any of you want Ian Murray as the next club manager?
No, that's a thing. Marvin Bartley. Like, he was a
No,
very
that's a big shite though.
no, but he was a very no, but he was a very sought after coach. He went to a League One club to try and get experience, and it's not worked out for him. He's moved on. Like, I think there's probably more examples of players going down the leagues and bombing more than there is. Jim Goodwin and Jack Ross are potentially two of the only ones that have, like, built right through the leagues and being a success in terms of then coming into the Premiership and doing all right. And it just David Gray is an interesting one though, like, because is he just like the coaching team's mascot? Like, what? Because he's he, is he just is it just like because nobody's managers are coming in with their own staff, but he's staying. So, like, what is the purpose? Like,
The
I know that,
continuity guy.
is
He's the
like, is
continuity
the
guy. Most clubs have got a continuity guy on the staff.
I just think, like, it would be good to know though, is it like, is he like, does he want to be a manager? Is he not? Is he that? Is that what he's there? Like, you know what I mean? It's just
I've
like,
just got a really funny vision in my head of David Gray being set piece coaching, getting all the boys sat down and just being like, look at this. It's just us going the cup final non-stop.
Head just pop it right in on top of Jason Ernie's head and just get right in there.
Aye, Miller, you're a big laddie. See what I've done there. All right. Joe, you get practice in the corners on his noggin. Aye, but we can talk about our manager predictions if it actually comes to a certain manager being chopped. But is there anything else you guys want to add in on the? Because for the most part, people that are saying they want change is as opposed to just a shite, fuck off. It's mainly we've had a pattern of not a lot of success from his decision making, and that's kind of the main theme of what people are saying. And another thing, do you think that because obviously he played a massive part in the BKFC, like now being involved in the club, so do you think that he's likely to stay because of that, or do you think that he'll still have been up for like scrutiny and review? Kev Wilson said, you'd imagine that BKFC will take over the running of the football department. Where do you reckon this leaves McDermott? We kind of covered that. And does it possibly mean Kensal will only be limited to the business side of the club, or is his position in doubt?
Maybe see him getting a role with BKFC. I think that's a potential avenue. He might end up working as part of their sort of multi-club system. My instinct's probably telling me that he'll move on fairly soon, but whether it's this summer or not, I don't know. It's just very difficult. It's very difficult to know. And in terms of who's going to run the football department, I mean, the technical director will run the football department going forward. That will very much be the role of the technical director who we're expecting to be announced very shortly. So that will reduce, I would imagine, Kensal's influence. It might reduce the influence of other people as well on the football side of things.
Hey. And you and any final comments on the board, etc.?
Nah,
Cool.
honestly, I'm not smart enough, mate. I don't just ramble on. Like, I genuinely, I don't care. Just get the manager right and sign some good fucking players. The rest it'll take care of itself.
Simple football. I want a tall guy up front and I want a small guy up front, and that's all.
Hi.
4-4 fucking two lads. But Greavesy said factory reset needed, similar to what Dempster did, top to bottom clear out, and a manager who knows the league and how to bring players in who can actually compete in the league. Monty up there with Butcher and Calderwood for me, deluded and tactically inept, get him sacked. I think the Dempster comparison is probably spot on, in the sense that when we went down to the championship, we did just start kicking everybody and their dog at the club. And I think that was good. Like, I don't know if you guys remember it, but I do feel that it was like going to a very different Hibs side than the year before. And it's the first time I felt that, like, massive a shift following the summer.
I went the very first, I think it was the very first pre-season game under Stubbs, Vale leaving away, and I was stood really close to the dugout. And I remember the first thing that struck me is I did not recognise a single person in a Hibs trackie. And I
That's
remember that
mad.
that was really telling, like being like, there's not a single person. And even you turned behind you and looked at the, and I don't think there were many of them, to be fair, but even the suits, you looked at the suits and you're like, I don't know any of these people, apart from obviously Dempster, if she was there. I can't remember if she was there or not. But I mean, that is huge because let's be honest, as much as that season was a decent season, it was a hugely transitional season. So let's not look back at it with rose tinted specs. There were some awful results in that first season down in the
When he
championship.
says specs, so he's definitely speaking to you, Specky, because we were having a conversation about that the other day. Fuck me, that first year in the championship was grim. I'm sorry, like, yes, there was some good results in there, but come on to fuck, like, we were losing at places like fucking Dumbarton
Aye.
and that.
Aye, but we went everywhere, and that's when the singing section was class. We just done Stubbsy. Oh, that was a great time. That's the time of my life. But then there's a few individual player stuff. Darren Keenan sent in, how many managers will Joe Newell bluff his way through? I think, as I always say, I think that Joe Newell can be relatively inconsistent. I think it's fair to say he's in a consistently bad patch at the moment. He's not had a good performance for a good few weeks now. But I don't think it's very fair to single him out as getting the manager sacked.
It's just, I know, I'm sorry, still remains one of the best performing midfielders in the league, especially outside of Celtic and Rangers on almost every metric. Just honestly, like, I get it. You don't like a player, that's fine, but go and find something to fucking back it up. Please. Go on, please.
He's not had a very good few weeks, but he still remains one of our best players.
I've
Yeah,
got
and
stats here if you want me to waste even more time on Harry, but
no,
you
it's all right, mate. You can keep your transfer market to yourself, my friend.
don't mind.
Gala Fox is sent in. Where do you start? Falling over at the set. A beat of falling over at the second goal was my personal low today. Unfortunately, like, see, the thing is, when we were at Ibrox, and what do you call it? Was it Will Fish about knocked at Triantus, then about knocked at Will Fish, and then no, wait, sorry.
Joe Neal took
Triantus a bit
it.
knocked at
Oh,
Joe Newell, who knocked at Will Fish, who dropped knocked. That was funny. Whereas a beat of falling over, that was just a bit tragic, wasn't it? Like, let's go back to funny Hibs. I enjoyed that period of time when we were shite, but it was all right to be
no. That's
shite.
why Joe Neal's been poor since. Maybe he's battling a concussion.
He's not recovered since, fuck's sake. Mike Hibbs said there will be plenty said about Nick Montgomery, but I feel so sorry for Stevenson and Hanlon, two absolute legends having to go out, going to have their final game at Easter Road under such shite circumstances and undoubtedly in a half empty stadium, deserve to go out on a much better note. It's a bit of a shame, eh? Been at the club for loads of years and
I'll be there. I'll be there, and I think a lot of other fans who want to show their appreciation will be there. And I think that's good. There'll be some people who stay away. That's fine, but I think the people who want to show appreciation will be there, and I think that's the most important thing. There's part of me that wishes to just do it before the game because I
yeah.
think the way things are going Wednesday night, can't see many people
I
staying to
think
the
they,
end.
I agree. I think they need to change it. Like, I don't know if both players will start, but like, yeah, just take them out of the dressing room 5, 10 minutes before kickoff. I honestly, I couldn't agree more, Liam. They need to change whatever their plan is for after the game, but before the game.
Or maybe they could do it like a couple hours before the game, and then everybody who doesn't want to be there can just leave before kickoff, and it'll all be good and all good and
I
rosy.
just find they've got more chance of people showing up 10 minutes early to see it than they've got, like,
Sticking
you know,
around 10 minutes
sticking
after, yeah, no,
around
I
ten
think you're
minutes
right, yeah.
after the game, especially if the results put.
Aye. Well, Stevenson, Hanlon, we'll cover it more in the season review, but thank you, because yous are class and yous definitely deserve better. Jeff
Such a shitty way
Ashton
to go out.
said, we need a total new spine to the team. Goalkeeper, two centre backs, beast of a centre mid, and a proper centre forward. We collapsed as soon as the first goal went in, not for the first time either. My problem is, do we trust the current management team to do it? I think we kind of covered off. No. But yeah, we still will. Don't worry, guys. We've given you our defensive options, but we'll give you our more attacking options in that season review if we don't do another two episodes. We'll make up our minds, don't worry. And then One relatively positive comment to end on when it comes to Montgomery. Well, not positive, but just kind of you'll see. William Todd said he was promised a minimum of the season and next before uprooting his family and travelling halfway around the world. We have nothing to lose by waiting till the end of the season and carrying out a full review. You know what, William? I agree. He left Australia. He's had probably a pretty shit time. So let's just give him another two games because, in my opinion, the two games are pretty irrelevant anyway. I said before the split, I think that we should just kind of draw a line in the season here and hope that nothing gets worse. 4-0 to Aberdeen is definitely worse, unfortunately. But Liam, do you reckon Montgomery sees the next two games? We'd be surprised if he got sacked, wouldn't we, at this point? Well, I would be if he got sacked before the
I th
Living game.
think given it's 8 o'clock on Monday night as we're recording, I think chances are he probably will get the next two. Certainly wouldn't make sense to sack him after the Motherwell game if we don't get a result there. I think chances are he gets the next two and the review takes place and then there's a whole big announcement. You know what I was reflecting on today that I quite liked? Sorry, this is a major tangent, but Peterborough United do that thing with their squad every single season where they say, here's who we're keeping. Here's out of contract. Here's who we've offered to. Isn't that sort of just that transparency and that clarity brilliant rather than finding out drip feeding player by
Totally.
player who's going on? I think it's a really, like, it's just an easy PR thing for the club to just put out a
Yeah, like a
list.
week, later, what they lost in the playoffs middle of last week or something. So not even a week, absolutely.
Could just fire the manager in there, the catering staff.
I just announced it.
Kit man.
Do you know what I liked as well? The available for transfers one. Just put the manager's name in there. He hasn't look.
Just
He's still employed, but he is available if anyone wants him.
off you pop right at the
Right.
top of the list. Off you pop.
And if we had if it was a down the slope one, we'd have all the players that are leaving and we want to, but then the available for transfer would actually just be every contracted player bar about three, I think, because of the five you said were starters, I think Liam said, aye, but if we got an offer.
Imagine Hibs just started bashing out our spreadsheet at the end of the season. Like just they got the whole format of our spreadsheet that we do for start, bench, and sell, and just fired it up on the website. That'd be brilliant. Great content. Well, spreadsheet lovers would be absolutely creaming themselves.
With a caption of not too far off LMAO. Oh,
Dear.
but boys, we had a pretty pish performance against Aberdeen. And it was an eye opener. I think before that game we were all pretty chill going into the end of the season, being like, all right, we know what we've got until the summer. Whereas now, grim, grim boys, grim. But Ewan, what positivity have we got to end this episode on? Because we don't like to go out on a sour note, do
There's only two games left this season. And I know that's like the most negative positive ever. No, look, we've got a home game on Wednesday night to celebrate two co total legends at this club, and it's sad the way that it's ending for both of them. Whether you think they should still be here next season or not is ultimately irrelevant. The decision's been made, and I think that is something that should be look that we should look forward to. God, when I seen the score yesterday and that, like, I was like, fuck it, I'm not going. But I think you've got to go, and just it's the right thing to do ultimately. And I think that is something to look forward to celebrate Lewis Stevenson and Paul Hanlon.
Liam, if I said that, I'd be getting a birthday card pish right off the back of it. Where's Ewan's one?
I actually don't want to say if I've declared pish for day two because I actually think it is literally, I think it's actually literally the only thing I'm clinging on to that I have to look forward to between now and the end of the season. Look, I think the positive is we'll all get ourselves all excited again in the summer when we sign a few players, when we're playing in Marbella in pre-season and we're absolutely cooking some English League Two outfit 3-0 at halftime and we're all giving it the. Haven't watched the sort of whatever it is a 9:15 kickoff on YouTube, and we're all messaging on the group chat saying, "Oh, that new boy up front looks unbelievable. Where did we get him from?" The thing
It's
is,
just Harry McCardo with a
football
different
is
haircut.
cycles. I probably football is just cycles, and our cycle will eventually come back round. We will get into a good period soon. I think it is unfortunately just a matter of time. I don't know how long that time's going to be, but while you're talking about the championship. Right, and I was thinking, what I was trying to think of games, and you said the Dumbarton game, you and I immediately remembered that. And it wasn't the first season, but do you remember the second season when we lost 3-0 at home to Greig Martin?
Oh.
Like, It's not that bad. Like, we
Yeah,
didn't just
it's
get
no.
beat, you
You're
know, by
right.
Munich Martin bad. So, can always get worse.
You kind of random memory in the championship I really liked was we were playing Cowdenbeath at home and we were 2-0 down and then someone died at a certain age. I can't remember what age, but we were 2-0 down at home to Cowdenbeath and the singing section set off about 10 smoke bombs and we ended up coming back and winning 3-2. I was like, this is great. Let's start celebrating being behind more often.
Do you know
Yeah,
what? It's just
it's fucking mental that they were in the championship that recently and they're now in the Lowland, eh? And struggling in the Lowland as well.
yeah,
Sorry.
it's just
mental.
the championship days are just the, you know, like because they were, and they were, and I know I'm saying they were shit, and they were, there was enjoyable because all you want to see is your team generally winning more games than they lose. Ultimately, the level of opponent is irrelevant. But I remember, like, I had Hibs on my bet one day, and it was the only team I was waiting on. And I think we were playing, by the way, it might have been it was Cowdenbeath or Alloa, one of the two. And it was when mine Stubbs just wouldn't start Cummins at the start of that season. He was coming off the bench and scoring goals or whatever, but he was starting, like, was it where Paul Heffernan was starting up front or whatever? He wouldn't start Jason Cummins. And Cummins came off the bench and scored the winner. It was Dunfermline, I remember it was Dunfermline. He scored the winner like late on, like pretty off the bench. And I won like 120 quid or something. And I was just like, do you know what? Championship football's not so bad. And it was like, it was sunny, it was early in the season, it was Liam's time of year, like football shorts on, the good stuff. And there's your positivity. Summer shorts, sunglass, football, beer gardens before, isn't he far away?
Carlisle away in pre-season could be a good one as well.
Oh, the greatest of all time. Ask Craig
Carlisle
about the car
away.
ride home for Carlisle. Unbelievable scenes in the car. Brilliant.
I feel like FC Utrecht in pre-season has got the potential to be quality as well.
Have I missed something here?
I think the Utrecht thing's been rumoured for ages, but I think the Carlisle thing's a relatively new bit of chat that we're playing Carlisle away in pre-season.
That'll be a good one, eh? Well, I spent long enough in Carlisle on a delayed train to Liverpool that I'm very familiar with their train station, so I'll get us there, no bother.
I might be a bit of a far away day for London, but we'll see what I can do.
You're probably closer to Utrecht, Harry. You just get the fucking Euro tunnel over the road. Go and see Vasilis Barkas and who else was for Utrecht?
Added
Oh,
up is up. I
Sam
didn't.
Lammers. Sam
Oh,
Lammers
fuck.
was for
Oh, right. All right. On
Utrecht.
that horrible note, let's get this wrapped up before more demons come out. Boys, thanks as always. And guys, thank you for putting up with our nonsense. And we'll power through Hibs' nonsense with you as well. And we'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.